And this is A Closer Look. I'm Rose Scott.
And I'm Dennis O'Hare. Dry rub, smoked, slow cooked. How do you like your barbecue? And did you know there are four distinct types of barbecue, apparently, and my guess is probably a whole lot more than that. Texas, Kansas City, Memphis, and Carolina.
And a totally biased edition, St. Louis style, Dennis. Don't forget that.
Of course. This 4th of July weekend, area grills, smokers, and barbecue pits will surely be fired up. But here on A Closer Look, we carry a concern, Rose.
Mm-hmm.
The concern is that half of you are grilling incorrectly.
Which means you don't know what you're doing. So, here to give their insight on all things grilling and barbecue, Georgia's own award-winning Tina Cannon. She's competed throughout the Southeast in several different divisions and meat categories. She's also a winner of the Georgia Regional American Grilled Competition. That was on the Travel Channel. And also join A Closer Look, a familiar face. And I call him our food correspondent for public broadcast in Atlanta, Jim Stacy. He's host of Get Delicious that often airs here on PBA 30, including the episode Get Delicious, Barbecue, Baking, and Other Adventures in Meat.
That's right.
Thank you both for taking the time.
All right.
Tina, I want to start with you because I'm from St. Louis, and we claim that we know everything about barbecue. But let's begin with this. Apparently, there's a difference between grilling and barbecue. Is
very
that true?
Much so.
What's the difference?
In the competition world, barbecuing is a long, low, and slow process. Grilling is like a hot and fast process. Like if you're in a restaurant, typically they're going to throw your burger on a grill, your steak on a grill. But barbecuing is like my ribs are 4.5, 5 hours. My brisket's 12 hours. Pork butt, 12 hours. Chicken's about my quickest I can do, and that's about 2 hours.
But slapping on a burger, that's just grilling.
That's
and
grilling.
The hot dogs for the kids.
That's right.
Yeah, grill is heat and time expediency, and barbecue is always low and slow, and you're looking at the flavors that your different woods make, how your
You're getting all technical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've been known
to do that.
Yeah.
But that's important because, Dennis, did you know how technical this was?
I have heard tell, yes.
And there's also something special that most barbecue cooks won't tell you is after you've babysat something for 14 or 18 hours, you never want to eat it.
No, I never eat it.
Everybody enjoys it, and you're just like, yeah, I'll just have some salad.
Yeah, when I go out after a contest, mm-hmm. I typically go for Thai food or Mexican food.
Exactly.
Really?
Exactly.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I'll just sit with the watermelon
and eat it, because the last thing I want is any of that 18-hour meat that I just
really?
Said. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
You stood in the smoke with the wood for that many hours?
Thing.
No. I take my clothes off after a contest in the garage.
So you don't eat any of it?
My garage door's closed, by the way. But I take it off so I can wash. I don't even want that
in
my house.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, too, is everybody's like, oh, you smell so good. It's like, my wife doesn't think so. Not at all.
All right, so Tina, given that, are there some meats that really come out better if you just grill them? And are there other meats that really crave barbecue?
Oh, definitely. Burger, steaks, that's definitely something you want to cook a shorter period of time. If you're going to eat white meat chicken, which I don't, but if you want to, you want that to be a short cooking process. But to me, the best long, slow cook is a Georgia Southern butt or a whole shoulder mm-hmm. or brisket, which in the South is not very common. But on the competition circuit, it is.
Jim, what about you?
Yeah, it's actually a bone-in butt, man. I mean, that's what I want to, that's if I'm going to cook something and babysit it all night, it's going to be that. But I do a lot of, I do a lot of brining and a lot of curing too. So that's a whole nother aspect to what smoking entails.
Okay. Yeah. Because now you're getting into the whole debate over preparation, the rub, the sauce, the brine, all of that sort of thing. Jim, let's start with you.
Well,
what kinds of meat do you say, okay, this is going to work best with brining?
Okay. Well, we sell tons and tons of corned beef and pastrami and smoked turkey at the restaurant. So all of that is brined. Some of it and bacon. So some of that is brined as long as 10 days. So it becomes absolutely cured through and through.
So it's a little late to start now if you're getting ready for the 4th of July.
We plan way ahead for you. I have a crew that plans way ahead for us. So that being said, there's processes, and that's with that all of those corned beefs and pastrami's are done with brisket, which is a tough piece of beef plate. And you have to put that on, if you're going to smoke that on a grill traditionally, or barbecue it traditionally, it's 14, 18 hours. Mm-hmm. No shortcut there, because it's a tough piece of meat to break down. And that's what the brining does. And some pieces of meat really lend themselves to that. A brisket will also lend itself to being rubbed really nicely. So it just depends on what you're, how confident you are in your abilities, and also how daring you're going to be, because it's quite a investment in time and money sometimes for a family to plunk down $30 for a piece of meat and then 18 hours in preparation.
Well, Tina, let's talk about that, because someone's saying, well, listen, you know, we have folks coming around Saturday, so I just want to do maybe a nice dry rub here to let it, or something to marinate. What do you prefer, rub?
I inject, and you can get some, you know, quick infusion of flavor with injection on mine. If you're going to cook at home for this weekend, you probably could do ribs. Chicken, you can brine or inject. You probably want to stay away from the brisket. And a pork butt, you can do a dry brine method, which is some where you put your salt-based flavoring enhancement. You can buy them at most grocery stores. Put it on and let it sit overnight to let it permeate, and you can probably get very good results.
Sure.
Competition results is very, very different than home results. What I cook at home, very different than what I compete with.
And we're going to talk about your competition in just a second, but real quickly, because I have a friend who's just all fish and seafood, and she goes to barbecues. She's like, there's nothing here for me. So if you have someone who's in that pescatarian mode, and I have ventured over there every now and then, what's a good fish or seafood for the grill?
Salmon, mackerel, and very, very large shrimp. I actually smoke oysters also, but it's a quick process.
Sure.
But you get it very, very smoky in your grill. Put the oysters on there for just a couple minutes.
And then they'll pop open on their own, and you just scoop them right out.
Really?
Slurp them down.
Mahi-mahi is a great grill fish, too. And you have to be careful with any fish that you do that your grill is clean or your fish will stick to it. Another easy way to cheat that is to go to Buford Highway and pick up a pack of banana leaves and put that right on the grill and put your fish on top of that banana leaf and just cook it on the grill like that, and it'll keep it from sticking.
Now, I use something a little bit different because I live very far away. Nonstick foil. You can buy that at any grocery store.
I use collard leaves, too.
Really?
I use collard leaves a lot with that, yeah. So just cook the fish right on a raw collard leaf, and it keeps from sticking to the grill. Smokes really well. It's a beautiful thing.
If somebody, and here's another thing that gets debated all the time when folks throw the charcoal on, what is the ideal appearance for the briquettes for you to start cooking? And Tina, I'll start with you. I mean, they're white around the edges, completely white, glowing a certain way. There are all sorts of backyard debates about that.
I like mine already 90% gray. That's what I cook on. I tend to use a lump.
Yeah, I was about to say, we don't use
briquettes.
No. It's always lump.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Lump and wood, yeah.
Okay.
But most households are going to use briquettes because you can go to any grocery store and get it. But the flavor of that is very different than what I normally use.
You can get a chemical aftertaste after those compressed
well, especially if you throw about a half gallon of starter.
Well, especially if they're ready lights. That's why we use a chimney. That's why we use a starter chimney. Never use lighter fluid.
Never use
the ready light ones, especially if you're using them in a smoker. Never use the ready light ones, because all you're doing is trapping lighter fluid soaked briquettes in something that you're going to be smoking for 24 hours.
Tina, real quickly, I want to get to your competition. What meats are you using in your competition? And how cool is that to be in a barbecue? Is it grilling or the barbecue? It's kind of both competition.
Well, remember, barbecuing and grilling
are
different.
Yeah, they're two different things. I took my notes.
Competition barbecue. My meats are not something that you could go to your local grocery store. I ship mine in special cuts. Well, if I tell you that, then other people
know. It's a trade secret.
It's a trade
secret.
Really?
That is competition.
These guys are serious. Like,
and girls.
Two can have a secret if one of y'all is dead,
really?
Kind of thing. Yeah.
My ribs, everything. Everything is shipped in directly to me. Special cuts.
Do your meats have to be inspected by judges?
Yes. I'm also a certified judge, so I really know what I'm looking for.
What are you looking for?
Fat content, marbling, especially in the beef. Just like if you buy a steak at your local grocery store, you know, you want something that's got good marbling. So I look for really, really heavy grade marbling, and you know, if anybody knows the details of it. I look for something that's a 9. That's pretty high.
How lucrative is being in the competition? Not that I'm going to get in there, but how lucrative is this? And how long does it take to... You won, I understand, on your very first, one of your first competitions.
I did. The first contest ever cooked in 2009. I went and won across the board, and I was shocked. And I was cooking on something that most people have in their own garage right now. I had 3 of them. And that's what I won on. And then I got the bug and competed ever since then.
Now, Dennis, do you have the charcoal grill or you have a gas grill?
No. We have somewhere buried in our storage shed, we have a charcoal grill.
So it doesn't really matter what he has because it's buried in
it's buried in the shed.
You hear people get all, sort of bent out of shape. Oh, you got a gas grill.
I can make a gas grill act like a charcoal grill.
Yeah, I have a gas grill. Also.
You stuff enough lava rock in it and get enough meat drippings on a lava rock filled gas grill, and it will act just like a regular grill. And that's good for some folks that don't have much time. They can come and crank it up, get it going. They don't have to wait for their coals to get going.
Right.
And there's a lot of most char grillers in restaurants are gas, and they're filled with lava rocks. Yeah. So most steaks you eat have been sous vide, and then they're finished on a gas char griller. So it depends on how it's just dressed and how it's cured.
Tina wins a competition. Jim, is there even a debate anymore about whether there's a gender gap when it comes to barbecuing?
It is in my house, apparently.
Politically, I will say no, because there is no right answer to this, and I cannot be right. Realistically,
is your wife here?
No, my wife is at the restaurant listening to this, ready to hatchet me when I walk through the door. But realistically, yes. I mean, my grandmother taught me everything, Southern cook wise. But our entire family cooked, and for an all night pig roast, it was all hands on deck, men, women, everything, So there was never a gender gap as far as I saw. It was all hands on deck because it's a big process.
Tina, when you first got into competition, did you take a little bit of heat from the fellows at all?
A lot of heat. It took a good at least 2 or 3 years for any of the guys to even have a conversation with me.
Now, was that because you were a greenhorn, or was it because you were a woman? I got a feeling it might have been that you were a newbie first.
That's a good way to look.
What you call a greenhorn?
You have to earn your stripes before folks who's this carpetbagger coming in?
I still
in?
Have some that, don't realize that I'm actually the cook.
Yeah,
but
sure.
Now once you've appeared on TV or, they see you on the circuit. But most of the time, 99.5% of the time, I'm the only female competition cook there.
Wow.
Yeah.
How much does region play a part into the whole debate over... we talked about Kansas City, Memphis,
everything.
Being from St. Louis.
It is absolutely everything.
There are different styles. In Texas, they don't really focus on the sauce.
No, they do not.
It's the rub, isn't it?
It's a rub.
Well, it's the rub and the meat. They cook primarily over oak. You'll see a lot of post oak out there. And they cook a lot lower. I mean, there's some regions in Texas, like Lockhart, hallowed town in Texas, that Kreutz Market and... it's just beautiful,
Blacks.
Blacks and Kreutz and just beautiful, beautiful stuff coming out of there. But it's a completely different style.
How do you define Georgia then?
It depends, and it's even if you're in the South Georgia or North Georgia. Because when I compete, I just won a grand championship 2 weeks ago in South Georgia. I changed my flavor profile to be a little bit sweeter.
Yeah.
And I added a little more hickory to what I normally cook with. If I cook in North Georgia, South Carolina, wherever I am, I actually will tweak my recipe just a little bit.
Make a little bit more vinegary.
Because I want to know where the judges, because the judges are usually from that area. So if I know where I'm cooking to win a competition.
Yeah,
right.
So you're,
at home,
playing.
I'm cooking what I like. So I'm playing a deck of cards.
Yeah. She's playing to their.
Do you do research on the judges to kind of get a feel for what?
It's hard to know because, know who that is, but I do know a lot of judges. Because I am, and I do take advantage of that. If I hear a friend of mine goes, I'm judging that contest, I'm like, really? and I make a mental note of that.
So for a Georgia barbecue, you're primarily looking at hickory. You're looking at a hickory smoke with a tomato-based sauce. And that can be anywhere from a little bit sweeter down south, like she said, to kind of a moderate base in central Georgia to more vinegar style echoing what you're getting coming out of the Carolinas and Tennessee.
Or even Augusta.
Or even Augusta, yeah. Augusta. So, but you may find a couple of dill pickle chips on it, but you'll never find slaw like you would come out of Carolinas. Yeah.
So let's talk to the greenhorns, maybe. Somebody who is thinking, you know, I want to plunge into this 4th of July weekend. Is it possible even to just do a quick punch list, each of you, for somebody who might want to drag the grill out of the storage shed and get started on it? Jim?
Okay, well, if you're going to drag the grill out of the storage shed, then I would stick with hamburgers, hot dogs, maybe get you a nice sausage. Italian sausages, bratwurst, boil those in beer first, lay them on your grill, get some color on them.
Boil them in beer?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah, that changes everything. So that changes the lowly hot dog. It changes everything if you boil it in some beer. And the longer you boil it, the skunkier it gets, the better it is. If you're going to make a barbecue, then you need to pull out your smoker, your Brinkman, or, you know, your little R2-D2 smoker that everybody got for a wedding present that nobody uses. It's a great little smoker. Learn how to use it. It's easy to use. It turns out some beautiful stuff. People sell them at yard sales all the time, and I don't understand why they don't use them, because they work really beautifully.
Tina?
If you're going to pull a grill out, I would, again, stick with the same thing he was talking about. But I have a trick that a lot of people probably in the restaurant industry use. I'll grind some bacon and put in with my ground beef for my hamburgers. Now, it's going to smoke up, so you just have a little water bottle handy. But that really will flavor your burgers, and that's simple to do. If you can't grind it, take a knife and just cut it up really small and put it in your burger meat. It will just give you a great different flavor. And then, just like wine, you always hear on TV, if you don't going to drink it, don't cook with it. Same thing, if you're going to boil your brats or your sausages in beer, don't use some kind of beer. Use a decent beer.
Yeah, don't use a light beer.
Yeah, don't use a light beer or a low-calorie any of that kind of stuff. Put good stuff in there.
And let's just end with this and be fair. What do you do for the vegetarians or vegans?
Portobello mushrooms, vegetables. Okay. I mean, you can get a firmer tofu.
Everything you do to a pork chop, you can do to a portobello mushroom.
Yeah, really. Great burgers.
Garlic, red wine, basil. Cook that down, and then soak that portobello mushroom in it. Lay it on the grill. Once it's been in there for 24 hours, mind-blowing.
Same thing with tofu. If you get a firm tofu, you can actually use rubs.
Press the water out of it and then do the same thing.
And grill it or smoke it.
And the one must-have side.
Tempeh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The one must-have side, you think, for this weekend? Coleslaw.
For to me? Mm-hmm. Well, mine personally would be a bottle of hot sauce, but I make a really good
vinegar based. Do you have an IV that you just sort of put that in?
12-pack of beer?
I make a really good potato salad that's more of a vinegar base. So if you're out in this hot weather.
Because that's another debate about potato salad.
We can talk about that too if you want to.
Yeah. Mustard base, mayonnaise base.
I make a sweet potato salad that has no mayonnaise in it.
I was about to say, we've been doing a sweet potato and barley potato salad here lately that's really nice. It stays nice in the hot weather. It doesn't have any mayonnaise for people to freak out about, you know.
Love to have you back for Labor Day then.
Yes. And why didn't you bring any food, Jim? We're all family.
Well, because
here.
Y'all called me at the last minute.
I even thought about it, and I thought, well, they're going to think
next
I'm sucking up.
Next time I'll
feed
you.
No, we like that. We like that.
That's the last thing you need is the itis right in the middle of this show. Hey, I have to say something. I really enjoyed how much of a hot seat y'all put Kasim Reed on last week.
We have a good time doing that.
Yeah, y'all pulled no punches. I really appreciate y'all's
news. I think
you
should send him some food to
make him feel better.
I need to bring my rig out here. I noticed y'all have an empty parking lot across the way. And
we can make that happen.
We should do a throwdown, actually.
It can be arranged.
Team Tina and Team Jim. We can do that. All right. Tina Cannon and Jim Stacy, of course. Thank you all so much.